Well, could you tell me your full name?
Oh, yeah, the whole ball of action. George MacDonald Halliburton.
And when were you at St. Mary?
Oh, boy. September
34.
September 34? Okay. Until May of 41.
And how old were you when you came to St. Mary's?
Well, 13.
Okay.
Well, what was I? I'm 34 when I would have been 13 going into grade 9. No, I would have been, if I'm born in 21, so I wouldn't have been 12 until October.
Okay.
So I was just under 12 going into grade 9.
Okay. And did you have any family members at St. Mary's as well?
Well, my older brother had gone to St. Mary's in high school.
Okay.
And my younger brother followed later on. Those were the big days when the fees were $20 per semester. Each of three semesters.
Oh, wow.
So $20.
$20 on
the compared
lot.
To today?
Yeah.
Yeah, but $20 would buy an awful lot. It would buy more than the family groceries.
Mm-hmm.
For a week. I mean, a loaf of bread was 10 cents. A pound of hamburger would be 15. 3 pounds for a quarter on the weekend. 2 pounds for a quarter on the weekend.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know.
Times have changed.
Daily paper was 18 cents a week.
That's neat. Do you remember any of your teachers when you were in the high school?
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, who did we have? Well, in high school, it's hard to sort them out, these. They were the Christian Brothers, and they were there for a long while. So we had all the different names. It was grade 9, Brother Roth. Grade 10, you know. Grade 11, it was like Keo and Shay. Lavin didn't teach high school. Oh, I can see some of the faces, but I can't pull the names. Lyons was one. And of course, Brother Roth. Roth looked after the book room as well.
Okay.
So everybody knew him. You had to.
Exactly.
And then, of course, the Jebbies came in 40. That was a change.
How was it different from the Christian Brothers?
I don't know how you say, read it. Discipline was still tight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Jebbies had to make a bit of adjustment on their own, too.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, here you come, a new org into an old org. You hopefully make a good transition without upsetting everybody. Though Father Bergafni was, I had him for a lot of classes. But were you here when he was here?
No, I wasn't.
He had a temper like you couldn't imagine. Well, that's why he went to the Jebbies.
Oh, really?
His temper, to try to get a handle on his temper, because in industry his temper was... He had a brother who was also a noted engineer.
Mm-hmm.
But he was both an engineer and an astronomer. Astronomer and math go together, so.
Mm-hmm.
But, I can remember one. In my last year, there were only four of us in the class, and I guess there were three there, with math 5. And one of the fellows asked a particular question. Father D.G. blew a fuse like you never saw sparks before.
Oh,
yeah, he just blew a fuse in that. Rocked out, whang, slammed the door. That was it. I mean, that's why he joined the Jeffies, just to try to control his horrible temper because with any of them, he'd be a little, short little fellow. Mm-hmm. Even the great Niners were bigger than he was. And of course, today, the great Niners are huge compared to what they were 100 years ago, whatever it was. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any other stories about the teachers that you had?
Oh, well, the brothers were particularly good with chalk, not just writing on a blackboard, but if you were dozing, you'd get hit in the head with a piece of chalk so fast. Oh, yeah, he'd be busy on the road, and then, and you'd wake up.
I bet.
Oh, yeah, they were deadly, because when they all played handball.
Okay.
I don't know whether you know anything about handball.
I know a little.
Well, a handball is a black rubber ball about yay, and it is very hard. It's almost as hard. It's harder than a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It bounces beautifully. Brother Lynam was the particularly good one. They used to have their own house contests, the brothers on their own. And also, you see, there's a handball alley down the street there in Holy Heart Seminary. So when you learned handball when you were going to St. Mary's, and then when you went into the seminary, you were competing with the fellows that were already there at the seminary who had the handball experiences at St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember seeing Brother Lynam, who taught a bunch of the engineering stuff, mostly chemistry. But I've seen the back of his hand, the blood coming out through.
Oh, wow.
That's how serious they played. You know, it's the whole back of his hand would be not bleeding, but the red practically coming through the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they were terrific because when they fire a bottom board, there was absolutely no chance of getting anything. Because the bottom board, it just goes right into the junction, and the deck goes right up flat along the bottom. And of course, that was the ultimate. That's the real ace in tennis, eh? And then, of course, there was the old Roaring with the natural ice and the swamp needed part of it, so part of the ice went up and down. So you'd be down about two-thirds of the way toward the north end, and you'd be going up over the bog and down again. But there was tennis courts there.
And were you students really active in playing in the Roaring and on the tennis courts and that sort of thing?
Well, there was always a problem to get time on the handball alley.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one fellow, Tommy Scarry. Tommy's parents had lost an 8 of that vintage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the Austin 8 was an 8 horsepower rating on these little old English cars. A few of them were over here. The boys played a trick on him more than once, but they'd push it into the handball court, which was a concrete floor, and put it right into the corner, and then lift it diagonally so that you couldn't move it ahead and you couldn't move it behind. You couldn't. So if you got on board, fired up, you couldn't get it out. You had to get somebody else to lift with you and lift the front end or the back end so that you could now move it out. But you know, when you finish class at 4:30 or something, you come up looking for the car, and then somebody said, "Well, it's in the handball alley." time is passing, and this is late in the year, and you're trying to get home, and you were one of the last students in the place. So you read and saw pictures of similar cars up on the roofs and whatever in different universities. So it happened more than once that Tom Skyer was stuck in the corner in the handball alley.
That's very funny.
Well, I remember too one time, this is Brother Lynam, I had just come past the handball alley and came in the north end door, and he looks at me and he said to me, "There was a pile of lumber back there on the other side of the handball alley." He says, "Yeah. How much lumber was in it?" I said, "Look." He said, "Well, you're taking engineering, aren't you?" "Yes." "Well, you should have been able to take a look and estimate quickly how much lumber was in there, or what the dimensions were of the pile of lumber. And ever since then, I've been checking piles of lumber at all. When you see the transport trucks loaded with lumber,
mm-hmm.
and you're counting how many pieces, how many in this bundle, and how many bundles on this layer, and how many layers. Well, when you drive along behind them, why not?
Exactly.
But it sure put the needle in to be observant. And that's what engineers are supposed to be, to start with. At least they're supposed to be observant.
So was there an engineering society, like a group of students when you were in
it? Yeah, but it was more nominal than actual.
Okay. What do you mean?
In name only.
In name, oh, okay. I was like, so would you have events together, or?
Well, you know, when the whole unit, the whole place only had 75 students.
Okay.
So it's pretty difficult if you took the, what was the arts one was Tau Gamma Sigma. I forget what the engineering one was because I don't know that we ever held a meeting. the arts might have had their own session a couple of times because they were the biggest crowd. And the rest of us were also hands. Well, of course, Babe Baisley, he had a pile in the Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he liked to play, but he liked to play handball too somehow. Really. Well, he was here for years too. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But the big fellow to remember in St. Mary's is Shooty.
Who was that?
Mr. Shoot.
Mr. Shoot.
Shooty. And he was the general factotum janitor, building superintendent, whatever. And he was the one that ran the power plant and did all the chores and whatever. But also, you see, there were in the high school, more so in the high school than in the college section, there were boarders.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the boarders have some different rules than the day students.
Were you a boarder or
did No, I was a day student.
You're a day student? Okay.
You know, there's a certain twilight time every day you've got to be back in. if you were late, there was always a way back in via shooties. In through the coal bins and up the back stairs. But Shooty wasn't a big fella, he was a small fella. But he'd been there for donkey's years. But I remember one fellow that I hadn't, he was a boarder, and he was about, not much more than 5 foot, maybe 5'2".
Mm-hmm.
And he was as strong as an ox. He used to be able to go over and lift the end of the billiard table and bounce it, eh?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know how many years later, but it would be in the very late 40s, early 50s, I met him again up in Inverness way. And he said, "George, you don't remember me, do you?" I said, "No." Well, he said, "Do you remember a little fellow in Morocco, McLean?" "Oh yeah, absolutely." He said, "That's me." And I'm looking up at him. He's about 6'3".
Oh my goodness.
Maybe 6'4". It was Dr. Jim McLean. He was in Inverness or Marguerite, whichever it was. Inverness, I guess it was. I said, "Well, what's, that's impossible." "No," he said, "I stopped growing when I was like 15 and I was short. And then when I was about 25, I started to grow." But it's a disease of some kind or other. I forget what it's called. But Tiny Titus, who was another engineer, when he was going to Dow, he was, you know, 6 foot plus. And broad. He had to give up football because all his bones were brittle.
Oh.
Every day he'd get tackled and he'd be broken.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as simple as that. So that I expected that Jim was much the same when he sprouted up. I'll do bone growth, you know, unless you've got calcium replacement, you're in problems.
Yeah,
definitely. But, there were all kinds of Newfoundland story, all kinds of jokes, fun to be young, whatever. But, in those days, there were the same usual mix of some fellows who were relatively large for the class they were in, and relatively old for the class they were in.
Okay.
But somebody in their family insisted, you're going to finish high school when you die trying. The first American football used to be played between St. Mary's and Dalhousie.
Really?
And somewhere in some of the old collegians or sanitariums, you'll find pictures of them. Jack Lynch, who used to teach at the St. Pat's.
Mm-hmm.
Jack was one of the players, along with Chris Grant, and then Tommy, what's his name? He was from the States. It seems to me there was a Lovett or two from Dartmouth, but when you looked at them, and then you looked at today's, all the pads that they wear today, in those days you see these skinny fellas, literally, with helmets more like the old aviator's helmet, with a little heavier padding.
Mm-hmm.
But not shaped like the great big helmets that they wear today. No face mask or anything like that. And
wow.
The football was a different size than the rugby football.
So would a lot of people go to those games?
Well, it's basically the university crowds that go. Mm-hmm. Parents actually don't get too much involved. The general hoi polloi doesn't. But those were the days, too, when there were good hockey games.
Okay.
And you had people like George West and whatever. Those were hockey games. They weren't just a grand melee, they were hockey.
Mm-hmm.
They went up to score goals, not to break the other people into little pieces. Well, I won't even watch hockey at all. Because I like the hockey as it used to be played when it was the name of the game, you get that little black thing in the net.
Mm-hmm.
The way the game seems to be now, you see how many people they can put in the hospital.
That doesn't seem right.
Right?
I said that doesn't seem like the right way to play.
Well, to me, one of the best hockey games I've ever seen was the first Russia-Canada one.
Oh, yeah.
The Russians were so fast, the Canadians couldn't catch them. They couldn't touch them. They couldn't hit them. Because the Russians were skating faster. And it's a different hockey game when it's all based on speed and scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But you had all kinds of mixture of everything.
So did you play on any sports teams when you were at St. Mary's?
Oh, on a few of the intramural stuff. But,
okay.
In those days, you're looking at pretty lean times.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted any spending money, you had to go out and find it. So I had all manner of paper customers, not the daily papers, but the Toronto Star, the Montreal Standard, the Saturday Evening Post, Maclean's, Good Housekeeping, Chatelaine, Liberty Magazine, Boston Advertiser, New York Sunday News and Mirror, all of these different ones between Marshall's and American News. They were always dropping a bunch more out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as soon as you got them, you got to take them out and deliver them. You had customer lists for every one of them. So I had customers. We lived at the foot of Jubilee Road most of the time. I had customers all over the place, even down in Wood Brothers on Granville Street.
Oh, wow.
One of the hairdressers, they wanted Good Housekeeping. And when Good Housekeeping came out, she got it delivered to the to the store.
That's good.
But, I don't know. That meant that, you couldn't really commit to playing certain days of the week, because you never knew what days these damn papers were and magazines were coming out.
Exactly.
But Father says, if you wanted some pocket money,
you you better work for it.
You better get out and keep those customers. Otherwise, you're in trouble. But, oh no, I played some tennis and some hockey and whatever, but I was never out on the team.
So, do you remember who was the president of St. Mary's when you were there?
Oh, well, Sterling was one. Okay. And then Lannan later on.
Okay.
Cornelius. Brother Cornelius, he was one for a long, he was there for quite a number of years. Okay. But Sterling was before Cornelius. And then when Connie left, then it was Lannan, it seems to me, was next. But yeah, there were nicknames for different of the brothers. Brother Birmingham was Birch. Don't ask me where it came from. But he was transferred from Newfoundland to here, to St. Mary's, and he was much older than the rest of the brothers. Most of the brothers were fairly young, and he put them in their 40s, 50s. But Birch must have been into his 60s.
Was there a dress code when you were at St. Mary's?
You were lucky to have clothes.
Okay. I was wondering, do you remember any other school rules? Any ones that stick out in your mind?
Well, you certainly wouldn't be dropping cigarette packs all over the corridors or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody caught you dropping, you know, waste paper, and there's a waste paper basket around, and you aren't making any effort, you learned about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You learned more than where the waste basket was. You learned it was sort of your job to use it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, what effect do you think that the war had on your experiences at St. Mary's? Did it make things different there?
Put it this way. Once you got into university, you had to be in COTC.
Okay.
And there was the opportunity to study,
mm-hmm,
and write exams and qualify as a second lieutenant, which most of us did, second lieutenant in the Coast Artillery. You had to do all your firing calculations and whatever. And then later, I don't remember when the big COTC move went on, but it was after 41, because the fellow who turned out to be my father-in-law was the CO of the COTC,
oh, yeah.
Major Mike McManus. He was a World War I, he was a trainee pilot at least. The Royal Flying Corps. But you'll see any of those pictures you'll see of the COTC, and see the guy out the front in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now most of the profs were also involved as officers of the COTC unit.
Okay.
But that was after I that would have been after spring of 41. Because spring of 41, I was ready to go down to Tech.
Okay.
And I also had to go to, as with all the grads who were going to Tech, all those who took the engineering certificate, a diploma in engineering is what it's called, we had to go to Army camp. But Heavy ACAC, and that was a camp that was right in Tufts Cove, up above Tufts Cove.
What was the name of it?
The Anti Aircraft Battery.
Oh, okay.
And this was a regular Army battery,
mm-hmm,
and we and the COTC all had to go and spend a 2-week camp there, doing military drill and doing a gun drill and whatever. These were 3-inch heavy anti-aircraft guns. Mm-hmm. And they had the dummy, what they call dummy rounds, which were big wooden, they're about this big. They had the cartridge about that long and on the round, it would take. And one time, every so often, they would do practice with live ammunition rather than with a dummy. And with the live ammunition, you went through the same routines, except you didn't pull the lanyard and fire it. Mm-hmm. One time, somebody pulled the lanyard, and they fired.
Oh,
and here's this round went up over the city and down into somebody's backyard in Spryfield. Nobody was hurt. It was a bit of an exercise. So after that, they made sure that whenever they were doing any of their practice gun drill, they were aiming out the harbor somewhere, because they didn't want it to go into anybody's backyard again. But and then it was down to Tech after that. So that was in the spring, and then in the fall, you were in the SEAL, you were in the Tech contingent rather than.
Okay. Now, were there weekend and activity, weekend and evening activities for students?
Well, there were lots of activities. I mean, there were plays and stage performances and whatever that were done by the students.
Okay.
And there was only one decent-sized room in the whole building that you could have any kind of a congregation of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a stage up front. And the way they round up all the chairs and all the folders, but I don't know how you describe it, but there were regular programs within the student and faculty operation within the walls. At one time or another, there'd be a band organized, and then somebody would keep it going for a while. And then there was a debating crowd that did their thing and whatever. But unless you were able to have certain times, which was a little difficult with me with the papers coming all the time,
mm-hmm.
So you didn't end up being in all of those things.
Were there ever any dances for?
I don't remember any dances because I remember it was strictly a male university,
yeah.
as well as a male high school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were a girl going to high school and you were Catholic, you went to St. Pat's Girls High.
Cool.
And if you were a boy and you didn't go to St. Mary's, you went to St. Pat's Boys High. That was it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you went to Calaveras County Academy, which is on the corner of Sackville and Brunswick.
Okay. I also wanted to know, were there religious solidarities with different groups?
Try this again?
Religious solidarities or societies of students?
Well, Society of the Blessed Virgin, everybody belonged into that one.
Okay.
What sodality, yeah.
What would the Society of the Blessed Virgin?
Whatever the hell it went through, it was just sodality was it.
Okay.
Because the chapel was right under grade 9. So that you were always cautioned not to be too damn noisy. Not that you'd wake the Lord up, but.
Never know. How do you think that St. Mary's being a small campus affected the atmosphere of the school?
More fight.
Really?
I don't say fight.
Oh,
I said
okay.
More fight.
Okay.
More fight. Because St. Mary's always had good sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember going up to St. Avex to a hockey game. And St. Mary's was beaten.
Mm-hmm.
and they were beaten by the fact that X was on average something like 10 pounds heavier per man than was St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a case of a good little team being beaten by a good big team. I mean, I can still remember seeing a whole team crying in the dressing room.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they were beaten. They were absolutely, physically, hardly able to move
mm-hmm.
after the game. I mean, they were exhausted. And it was, as I say, a good little team being beaten by a good big team, because you had fellas like Tarp Walsh, and Tarp was about 6'2"
mm-hmm.
and about 280.
Wow.
Or maybe he's only 2 1/4, I don't know, but he was a big, and he was on defense, and if you got down there, and you got in his way, you knew it. Yeah. Well, there was always a fight, see? Well, it was part of the old yells, but Dal